1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's read one verse in verse 13. The Apostle Paul said, "Watch ye stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong." Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again for this wonderful day that you've given us, a wonderful choir singing. I pray that you were honored in all the songs that was sung this morning. You know what folk needed to hear this morning, but Lord, we want to just come and praise you for a little while. And Lord, we ask now as we preach, we pray that you'd give us the words of that folk need to hear, and I pray that folk will find encouragement from the Word of God, not only in their Christian life, but if there's one here that's lost that don't know you, that they'd find encouragement to come and get saved. The Holy Spirit could take this message, work on folks' hearts, and deal with them. And Lord, we just want you to have the honor for it all. And Lord, teach us and help us through this scripture and how to obey you and to follow you and to be separated from this world. And to trust you and live for you. Again, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done. Meet with us now and save that sinner's nearest help. I pray that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh, for we certainly need your touch. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As the Apostle Paul, as he is closing out this chapter right here, and he's closing out his first letter to the church of Corinth. And if you go back and look, he gives instruction in that for how to take up the offering for the poor saints. He tells them that he'll soon be coming by if he can to visit with them. He tells them in how to treat Timothy when he comes by. He says, "Let all things be done in charity," in verse 14. And he gives those names for those who salute the church. But in verse 13, he gives them some some great instruction here and how to be faithful and that to the cause of Christ and that in living for him. Now, he says to watch ye. I believe that first of all, we need to watch in that for the adversary. Can I tell you, you have an adversary today. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. You need to be on the watch for the adversary. He does want to destroy you. He does want to destroy your family. He does want to destroy this church. And we must be about in that, be able to watch and that for the adversary. I need to watch in that in our service that we're faithful in it and that we're doing what Christ would have us to do. What was it he asked his disciples over there when he took them into the garden, and he left some here, and he took Peter, James, and John and took them and set him close to him, and then went a stone's throw away and began to pray, and he come back and they had fell asleep, and he said, "What could you not watch for 1 hour?" And so we need to watch in that in our service for the Lord, and that to be faithful in what we do. And then we need to watch for his second coming. He is soon to come. Ain't that an exciting thing today for the child of God, that Jesus is soon to come? But then he says this right here. He says, "I have to stand fast in the faith," and that is what I'm going to preach on this morning. But the short version of that is just to do what you need to do. Be faithful in what God has called you to do. But then he says, "Quit you like men." In other words, don't quit. You go over to the book of 1 Samuel, I believe it is, and they talk about in verse 4, the Philistines say the same thing. I to quit you like men. Men, don't quit. Amen. Fighting men and valiant men, keep on going forward for the Lord. And then he said, "Be strong." And we know that he said at one point to be strong in the power of his might. And so if we're going to be strong, we're going to have to be strong in the power of God today. But I want to deal with this one portion of scripture, and we could deal with all of it today, but we'd be here until 7 o'clock next week. Amen. And he said, "Stand fast in the faith." Do you know, when I looked up that word "stand," Webster's 1828 dictionary had over 40 definitions for the word "stand." Now, don't get excited. I'm not going to preach on all 40 of them. Amen. When I said 40, Jeremy looked up at me and grinned, and he knew that I might preach on all 40 of them. But you know that "stand" has a lot of meanings. I mean, we stand. It literally means to be up on your feet. You can stand by, which means to be near. You can stand for, which means to side with or to give support. You can stand in, which means to take somebody's place. You can stand off, which means to be far off from somebody or to keep your distance. You can stand out, which means to be prominent or to project oneself. Well, when I look at this word stand right here, when he says to stand fast, and by the way, that word fast means firm or unmovable, firmly fixed. He says when we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to stand upon our feet and to remain upright and not be knocked down, but to stand fast and to stand firm. Y'all catching on? It means to be in a state of fixedness or to endure. It means to maintain a position of defense or resistance. And let me say that all those apply, and that for standing in the faith today. Listen, can I tell you that standing is a whole lot harder than sitting is most of the time. There's not rest. There's not a lot of rest in standing. I remember my uncle told me the story one time when he worked in a facility that he worked in. They were working on something, and there was a man standing down there that had his control in his hand, and they'd been up on the upper side of the building working, and he said, when we got done, we were waving at him, trying to get him to work his controls, and he was standing there and said he had stood there so long that he had fell asleep. Now, I have never fell asleep standing up. Man, I'm telling you, wouldn't that be a jewel if you could do that, wouldn't it? Amen. I mean, nobody would never know. You could paint some eyelids on your eyes and look like that they're open, and nobody would never know that you's taking a nap while you's working. Amen. But listen, to stand, first of all, let me say quickly, it takes effort. It takes effort. It takes effort, and we take standing for granted a lot of times. I look at people over in the nursing home that once could stand, but because of their health and because of their age and because of things that have happened with the car wrecks or whatever, they cannot do that. And they once could. And I'm afraid that is how that some Christians are today. There was a time when they made their stand and act for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've quit along the way. But I just want to look at three things in standing in the faith. Number one, let me say that we're to stand in the faith of the gospel. If you look, he talks about it at one point, the Apostle Paul did. He talks about standing in the faith of the gospel. Listen, can I ask you today, what are you standing in or standing on? Is your salvation in that based in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You do know what the gospel is this morning, don't you? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll believe that in your heart and ask Him to save you, He'll save you. Amen. Salvation is that simple. I mean, what did He say in Romans chapter 10? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you believe in your heart of what Christ done, that He came and died for you and took your place at Calvary, and that's what saves you. When you believe that and ask Him to come into your heart. Ain't that a wonderful thing? I mean, that is as easy as salvation, I mean, can get. You can't make it no easier than that. But yet, we tend to make it hard. And yet, a lot of people in that are standing on something other than faith in the gospel. Take your Bible this morning and go over to Matthew chapter 7. And I'm talking about standing in the faith of the gospel. Matthew chapter 7, the Lord is laying some things out here to the Pharisees. I believe He is. And He talks about in verse 20, let me see if we can get here, verse 19 and 20. Well, let's back up into verse 17. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17. He says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So it's either a good tree and good fruit, or a bad tree and evil fruit. He said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Then he says in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now these verses used to bother me. I mean, they used to bother me. Let me read on, because he said in verse 22, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He said, look, some of you are going to say that you've prophesied and that you've cast out devils and done many wonderful works. And in these works that you've done, you still did not know me. And them verses used to bother me because I'd wonder, yes, I've made a profession in my salvation, but what happens if I'm them people right there? See how my mind cranks and works and turns. But I want you to look at what he said right there in verse 21. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I believe it is John chapter 6 that tells us that the will of the Father is to believe on him, believe on the Son whom he sent. That's the will of the Father. So if you do the will of the Father today, listen, then these verses right here has nothing to do with you. But then we go on and he said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know why it fell? Because it was not founded, and that upon Christ. Listen, if you're not founded upon Christ Jesus the Lord in your salvation, it's not going to work. I mean, you've not had a change. There's no difference in you. And listen today, he is the only one that can change it. You can try to do good. You can try to do better. You can reform. You can turn over another leaf. But friend, you don't need reformation. You need regeneration. And to be changed in Christ, you must come to him. And that's what it takes today. But he said to these people right here, he said, if you hear these sayings and do them, he'll liken you to a wise man that built a foundation. At one point, was it in the book of Luke that maybe it was Mark, where he said that he digged down and laid that foundation. You know, that's what we do to make a foundation for a house today, is we dig down till we hit the rock, don't we? And then we lay upon the rock. Hey, can I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is our foundation? He is our rock today. The Bible said in Isaiah 28, he said, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make it. Hey, I'm glad today that I'm standing on a sure foundation. Amen. We sang that song, Rock of Ages, today, cleft for me. And listen, I'm glad that I'm standing on the Rock of Ages today. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of which my whole life is put upon today. And I'm standing on him. My faith is in him. My faith is in the hope of the gospel today and the truth of the gospel. What are you standing in today? Listen, the psalmist David said in Psalms chapter 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and lifted me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my going. And verse 3 said, and he put a new song in my mouth. See, before you got saved, you were sinking in the miry pit of sin. We sing that old song in the black book there. He lifted me out. He lifted me out. Boy, aren't you glad you got lifted out? Amen. Hey, listen, to be no longer sinking in sin, but to be picked up out of the miry clay, and not only picked up, but put upon a rock to where you won't sink no more. Thank God for that. I'm glad that I'm standing on something today that is firm. We sang that old song sometimes out of the Red Bible book, standing on the promises. Amen. I've got something to stand on. Hey, listen, as one fellow said, I may slide all over that thing. I may fall on that thing, but I'll never fall off of it. Amen. Thank God for that today, and it'll never fall out from under me. 2 Timothy 2 said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Amen. That's why I can stand firm. It don't matter whether I ever forget that I knew Him. He knows me today. That's exciting. Well, I got to preaching over there out of Psalms 42 Friday over at the nursing home. And I got to preaching on, do you remember these things? When you remember these things. David said, when I remember these things, in verse 4, Psalms 42. He said, when I remember these things. And I thought, boy, out of all the places to preach it, to preach that when I remember, you know, bless their heart. Some people just don't remember. I mean, some of y'all struggling with that. Amen. Hey, my mind ain't near as sharp as it used to be. Amen. My dad says, son, you know what you start doing when you get my age? He says, you start running memories together. And he says, you think it happened this way, and then come to find out it didn't exactly happen that way. But I got to preach it on remember when the Lord would come by and give you a song in the night, and remember when you used to weep and cry, and remember all these things, and remember the day that God come by and saved you. But you know the great thing about that is, if you lose your mind and you can't remember the day that God ever saved you, you know what he said, the foundation of God standeth sure, for he knoweth them that are his. Amen? He says, even if we believe not, he remaineth faithful. If you ever get to the place where you doubt your salvation so much, he remains faithful. You do know old Satan can jump up on your shoulder and begin to whisper in your ear. And if you get out and sin and get away from God, 1 Peter talks about, or is it 2 Peter? One of the epistles of Peter talks about that folk was getting so far away from God that they had forgot that they were cleansed from their own sin. But boy, I'm glad that the foundation of God standeth sure. I'm standing on the promises of God today. Ain't that a wonderful? That excites me today. Amen. Hey, I've got excited that I'm founded on the rock today. And the winds may blow and the rains may beat on me vehemently. But friend, I'm on Him today. Thank God for that. Amen. Oh, mercy. I'm tickled to death with that. Psalms chapter 57. He said, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I'm fixed on Him. I'm fixed on Him. I can't be knocked off of Him. I'm on Him. I'm on the solid rock. Amen. Thank God. We sing that old song sometimes. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm glad I'm on something solid. Amen. I can't get away from that today. Hey, that, listen, bless folks' hearts. Bless folks' hearts if they're one thing today and something tomorrow, and they don't know if they're saved today or tomorrow or the next day. They don't know what a horrible thought and what a horrible place to be in. But I'm telling you, when I got saved, I got planted on Him. Boy, that excites me today. Amen. I hope that excites you today. Number two, talking about standing in, what did he say? Stand fast in the faith. You need to, first of all, have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have a stand. You can have a stand on Him and beside Him. He is our foundation today. Amen. And don't be tossed to and fro like Ephesians 4 talks about. But number two, then we need to stand in the faith and not fall. We've got a lot of folk falling today. They're drawn away. They're drawn away. First of all, a lot of folk are drawn away by sin. They're drawn away by the allurements and that of this world out here. Do you know that just because you're saved and in church today does not mean that you can't fall? What was it that the Apostle Paul said? I believe it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'll come back to this. But he said, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If we're not careful, we can become so conceited and so prideful in our life for Christ that we don't think that Satan could ever get us to fall. You know why he said, "Watch ye"? You're watching for the adversary, ain't you? Do you know, listen, son. You know why it scares me when I hear about preachers falling? You know why it scares me? Not because that I'm afraid that I'm going to do that, but I'm afraid because I know that I can. Yeah. Because I know that they're in the same, y'all know what I'm about to say, they're in the same flesh that I'm in. And them men went and done things. I'm talking about men that I loved and knew. I'm talking about men that were good preachers. And somehow I got sideways on God and got away from Him. I don't understand that. Other than the flesh. Amen. Satan has drawn him. You remember what the Bible said about David? When God was God said when he was talking about David and Saul, and Samuel goes to Saul and he's telling him about God getting another king, and he said he had chosen him a man that is after his own heart. God said David was a man after my own heart. But yet, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, David sins. And for some 9 months, gets away from God. And it gets worse and worse and worse as this thing goes on. It ain't that David sinned and David fixed it. You know, by the way, if you've got the Holy Spirit residing in you, He'll be screaming at you before you ever sin. I know that for a fact. I mean, I've been down that road too many times. He'll be hollering, "You don't need to do this." And you know, He'll not only tell you that you don't need to do it, He'll start giving you scripture and drawing things back to mind that you've either read, you've heard preached, you've heard taught, that you've studied yourself. The Holy Spirit will begin to recall things back to you and say, "Right here's why you don't need to do it." But David, in being king, sent for Bathsheba. They committed adultery, and so we know that 9 months later, the baby was born. But we also know that in Psalms chapter 38 and in Psalms chapter 51 that David tells us about what that sin done to him. Now you know the great thing about all that is that whole mess right there. You know what? God forgave him of all of it. Is that not what he said in 2 Samuel chapter 12? We go over, well, here, I'll just read it to you real quick. Ain't you glad that he's just a God that forgives? Amen? I mean, listen, you done wrong, you can get right with God. If I do wrong, I can get right with God. Now, let me park here for just a second before I move on, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 12 and let me back up here. Verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." God put it away. Now David, because he committed not only adultery, but see, there we focus on that sin of adultery, but do you realize that he committed murder? I mean, he had Uriah killed. I mean, he sent the letter to Joab. I mean, Uriah was carrying his own death warrant. And he sent it to Joab and said, "Put him out there and heed the battle and then draw off of him." And so if you go and you read that scripture about what David done, he not only had Uriah killed, but there were other men killed in that battle because of what Joab done. Now I want you to think for just a second. David knew the Lord. David knew what it meant to be faithful to God. And David knew all these. I mean, he knew. I mean, we know the story of David's life. He loved God. But yet, in a moment and time when sin presented itself, hey, listen, Bible said in James 1, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and is enticed, and is enticed, and when faith hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death." Listen, he was enticed and he gave in to it. Got him in trouble. So we're drawn away By sin, we fall. There ain't one of us in here. Listen to me now. We sometimes think we're better than everybody else if we ain't careful. You know what the scripture tells me about me? 1 Timothy chapter 3, when he lays out the list of the bishop, the pastor, one of the things he says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. You say, well, why a novice? That's a beginner. Don't put a beginner, don't put somebody and that in the place of a pastor who is a beginner because he's going to be lifted up with pride being in that position, and that's going to get him. Do you know that I still have to fight that? I think it's a pretty good church. I tell people, man, I got the best church in the world. Pastor, the best church in the world. And you all tell me that I do such a great job. And you say, preacher, you do too much. You just do too much and I don't think I do enough. And you know, the doctor tells me, man, you're loaded with stress. And I don't want to get to believing that. I told somebody the other day, I said, I don't want to get to believing that, you know. I don't believe that. But you know what? When a pastor who seeks God and loves God and prays and preaches what God has him to, and he watches and he goes and does, and the church does what they're supposed to, and the church grows. And you see folks saved. You see folk, begin to preach. And you see folk just grow in the knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see all these things. And as a pastor, if you're not careful, you begin to believe everything about what people's told you. And that head begins to blow up. He said, not a novice, lest he being lifted up with pride, fall into the condemnation of the devil. It's easier to fall than what you think it is sometimes. It really is. If you're not careful, you must watch for that. Me and my wife was going outside the other day. And I was going first. I stepped off the front porch. Made just about to turn around the house. And I heard, ooh. And I turned around and looked. She's laying on the ground. I thought, well, my wife has fell down. And I stood there for a minute. I thought, well, she's fell down. I mean, my wife don't fall down. I mean, that's just something she don't do. And so she's sitting on the ground, checking her ankles out and all that, make sure everything's working fine. Do you know that it hurts you to fall? It didn't hurt her so much right then, did it? As it did later on that night and the next day. And the day after that, I was going through the house one day. I had a cutting board in my hand, to cut paper, and had a run full of tracks that needed to be trimmed up. And I go sliding through the house, and next thing I know, I'm falling face forward. And I mean, the cutting board goes this way, and papers go this way. And you know, the funny thing about it is, and me and Kelly talked about this, you got time to think about why you're falling. You ever done that? I mean, I was falling and I'm going, reckon why this happened. I mean, really, that's what's going through my mind. What has caused me to fall? You know what? You better ask that question before you fall, not why you're falling. You better ask yourself the question, is what I'm watching on TV going to cause me to get away from God? What I look at on my phone, is it going to cause me to get away from God? What I listen to and what I read and all these things, the friends that I run with, are they going to cause me to get away from God? The job that I'm working, is it going to cause me to get away from God? I know we all got to work, but Paul put it like this. He said, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts. I think you can determine in your heart that you want to serve God, and you can work a job and still serve the Lord. But if you're working that job
to make all the money that you can all the money that you get, it's going to get you. It's going to cause you to fall. You'll start working on Sundays. Start working on Wednesday nights. You'll be volunteering to do it. You know, it's one thing if they hem you up, but hey, listen, when you're volunteering saying, hey, yeah, I'll work them, it's going to draw you away from God. Spend more time at the job site than you do with your family. I'm just going to tell you. Spend more time there than you do at church. It's not good. But many have not only fallen because they were drawn away because of sin, but then many have failed from the faith. If you go and you look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If there is ever a time that we need to stand fast in the faith, it's now. I mean, old time King James Bible believing churches are going by the wayside. I mean, they're just going by the wayside. I'm talking about sin killing, separated, Bible preaching churches going by the wayside. I told somebody the other day, I'd hate to be looking for a church. I really would. I'd hate to be looking for one. But folk are falling away. Churches are falling away. They're wanting to make it easier so that folk will want to come in. Hey, I'm going to tell you, hey, folk can come in. We'd love to have folk come in. Go out and get them and bring them. I'll preach to them about Jesus so that they can get saved. I had one woman tell me here a while back, I guess it was last year. Boy, she's saying, should you have sinners coming into the church? You know, we need to go out and get them and witness them. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to. I mean, you need to witness to them on the job, at the Walmart, at the gas station, wherever you run into them at, talk to them about the Lord. Amen. But the dare say that we don't go out and invite folk to come in to hear the preached gospel, there's something wrong with that. There's been a multitude of sinners saved because the preacher preached at church. I understand some things. I understand separation. I'll deal with that. But I agree with Brother Larry. There is a great difference between separation and isolation. But many have fell away from the faith. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Not that they go out and they serve the world, and not that they're caught and that by sin, but they have been, and that, how would you say it, they've been hoodooed into believing something that is not true. Before we bring worldly dress and worldly music and worldly actions in here, I'll resign. I'll move on. I'm not interested in that. If it don't sound like that redback book, I don't want to fool with it. I don't want to mess with it. I mean, listen, them hymns have been doing their jobs for centuries. I'm not talking about decades. I'm talking centuries. Them old hymns have been doing their jobs. And why would you want to quit on them now? Folk are just falling away from the truth. As 2 Peter chapter 3 says, as also in all his epistles. Now, Peter's talking about the Apostle Paul right here. And he says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Peter struggled to understand some things that Paul wrote about. And I would have no doubt that some of that might have been grace. You remember what the Lord told his disciples to do? He says, he told me Matthew 23. Is it Matthew 23? He says, whatever the Pharisees bid you do, that you do. For the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. For whatever they bid you do, that you do. But do not as they do, for they say and do not. What was the Lord telling them? Keep the law. What is Paul over here telling them to do? He said God's grace can justify you from things that even the law of Moses could not justify you from. So no doubt Peter struggled with some things. You know why we need to take it easy on some people that have been trained wrong? Not everybody had the same Bible training that you've got. and what this church has given. Not everybody learned right. Preacher, do you think you're right? Sure I do. If I didn't think I was right, I'd change myself. Why not? Well, not everybody learned right, and you've got to take some time with some people to let them unlearn. Have you ever had to unlearn something? I mean, once you realize that what you had learned was wrong, trying to learn what was right was hard to do until you learned what you'd been taught was wrong, because you can't reconcile them together. And so what Peter's doing, he's struggling with some things. But he says, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He said, remain steadfast in the truth. Remain steadfast as to what you know is right. Stand upon it. I mean, listen, what was it that he said? That there was what? That is to be in a state of fixedness. That's what stand means. To be in a state of fixedness. I'm fixed in my place. Stay with me. And I'm going to close. Number three. But then we need to stand on the right. That means to maintain the posture of resistance or defense, or to endure. So we need to stand on the right. Take your Bible and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Did you know to stand on the right means that you may have to fight along the way? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I got in a big way up here one time and got to talking about how I love a good fight. And that was exciting to say till I got in the middle of it. Sometimes the Lord makes us live what we preach. So you better be careful. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle, would that not be fighting? Would that not be standing in a posture of defense or of resistance? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then verse 14 says, stand therefore. And he begins to lay out how we are to stand. As he first tells us to stand, he says, be strong in the Lord. If you're going to stand, listen, you're going to have strength to fight. You can't fight if you ain't strong. You know, I ain't preached on this, but you'll find at one place where the enemy come over there and destroyed and was trying to destroy the lentils that were in the field. And his brother Ted Watson said that was just a pea patch. But why did the man go out there who was a valiant man and fight the Philistines over that pea patch, over those lentils right there? Because if they didn't have something to eat, and if the horses didn't have something to eat, they were going to have no strength. You're going to have to draw your strength out of this book right here. This is where your strength is going to come from. And it's out of this book that you find your strength to stand. He says, take the whole
armor of God. He deals with that in verses 14 through verse 18. Look, what did he say? Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, you know, that's what the gospel is, ain't it? It's peace and that to the sinner today. That would help. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But we take the whole armor, and it gives us what we need to stand. Faith and the sword and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation to protect our mind and guard our mind that we might be able to fight. Have our shoes on like we need with the gospel, because it's going to be fighting. Because in verse 12, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. We're to stand. You're to stand in your home. I've told you this story before. I've got a preacher who is an acquaintance of mine. And I don't know what was going on in his home. I don't know. His boys were teenagers at this time, and he took his wife and he took his teenage boys and he set them down in the living room one day and he said, look, I was traveling this road with God long before you came along, and I'm going to continue with Him. That's taking a stand, ain't it? Hey, let me say this. Moms and dads, look at me for just a second. Make a decision about your stand even before your kids get here, and while they're little, and then that way you don't have a problem as they grow up. Make the rules now. Get them decided. I know that sometimes you got to bend, and that ain't what I'm talking about, but decide what you believe now. Get your convictions now and live on them. Stand in your home. What's going to be allowed? What ain't going to be allowed? You know, the rule of thumb that I have in our home, and my wife has this rule too, I think this is basically how we live with our TV, is would I let somebody come in my house and do what they're doing on that TV right there? Now think about that for just a second. That's going to narrow up what you're going to be able to watch. But what is the difference? You say, well, it's on the TV. What's the difference? You're letting it in your home. It's not, hello here. It's no different. Boy, we've hit a stump here for just a second. It's no different than letting somebody come in your house and cuss and take God's name in vain than it is to let it come across the TV and you sit there and watch it. It's no different letting somebody come in your house and commit adultery and fornication if you're sitting there watching it on the TV. It's no different. And you can argue with me till you're blue in the face, but you ain't going to change my mind on that, friend. Hello? You better be careful. Take a stand in church. Keep sin out. Keep the world out. Keep the right doctrine in. Make our stand in the world. Whether it's on the job or whether in public, we need to make our stand and be known. With our friends and our family, we need to make our stand. Here's what Paul said. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As he was talking about Alexander the coppersmith and him preaching, the Apostle Paul. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it be not laid to their that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You say, it's going to be too hard to stand. Paul stood alone, and Paul said, when I made my decision to stand for what was right and the truth, God stood with me. We think we're going to be alone in our stand. You won't be. The Lord will be right there with you. He said, stand fast in the faith. He said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let's bow our heads this morning. What are you standing in this morning? Pull me up just a little music, Jacob, if you don't care.
What are you standing on this morning? What's your faith in? Are you standing on Christ Jesus the Lord? Are you trusting Him? Or is what's your own sinking sand today? If you've not got a sure foundation, friend, I encourage you to come and get saved today. You know why I can make it and why these other folk in here can make it when the world comes against us? When the storm rages and it blows, you know why we're going to make it? Because we're founded on Christ Jesus the Lord. You know why I'm going to make it when my dying day comes? When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know why I can say like David, I'll fear no evil? He said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But if you don't have that foundation, you're not standing on anything good today. How's you stand in your home? Is sin alluring you and trying to drag you away? Or maybe it has dragged you away. Your stand ain't what it once used to be. If you need to come and pray, I ask you to come. If you need to come and get saved, I want you to know Jesus loves you and died for you where you can get saved. Are you being faithful in your stand? It's easy to make you stand here at church. Well, what about with friends and family? In your home, on the job. Let me encourage you to be faithful for the Lord today. While everybody's praying and the music's playing, do you need to come today?